Our Bible reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the first 13 verses. The writing of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. If you know anything about this letter, there were troubles, problems, sin in the church that needed addressing. And the Apostle Paul, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, uses illustrations from Scripture, and he refers back here to the Israelites coming out of the wilderness, or coming out of Egypt, should I say, through the wilderness, and describes how things were. But I want to focus in on what it says of Christ, and you'll see as I read what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Warnings from Israel's History is the title in the NIV, a good title, I think. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. God's people were led by the Lord in a cloud and came through the Red Sea in a miraculous way. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So they were part of the God's people, part of what was going on. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So there's things that happened to the Israelites that Paul is reflecting upon, bringing to the attention of the Corinthians. As God's word does, it brings to our attention, you know, perhaps sin in our own lives. Are we grumbling? Are we caught up in different bits and pieces of the world that are not pleasing to the Lord? But in the midst of it, he speaks there of the rock, and that rock was Christ. I'll be thinking about that, because earlier in Exodus, you have a reference to how the Lord provided for his people through the rock. I want to look at that with you together this morning. Well, 2 weeks ago, we began to look at the Apostle Paul and how he preached Christ crucified. It's there in 1 Corinthians. Paul says it's the power of God, it's the wisdom of God. But then he goes on to explain that the Jew and the Gentiles don't want to hear it. And talking about Jesus today to our world, people want a few of the perks. If it can give me some peace, that will be good. But then when you start talking about a cross and dying for sin, and people just want, they don't want to know, they just want to switch off such talk. We looked and we saw how the Apostle Paul used illustrations, how he refers to people. And 2 weeks ago we looked at Adam and how Christ is the second or the last Adam. And we contrasted the two. I said it was going to be very simple. One or two of you told me afterwards I kind of complicated it beyond comprehension, so I apologize. I will do better. try better today. Because today I just want to look at the rock, as I've already alluded to. A person. Christ is the rock, but a rock, an object, something that we can all relate to. You know what a rock looks like. You've seen a rock. Now, I'm thinking of the Judean wilderness and the rocks there. I'm not thinking of pebbles on South End seafront. Big rocks. When you think of the Judean wilderness as a setting, it's all rock, actually. And they have those wadis, those valleys cut into the rock, where when the water does flow, it cuts. But most of the time, it's bone dry, and we know something of what that feels like. And there are rocks of various heights and sizes and scales. There it is, a wilderness. But the rock particularly we want to be focusing on is the one that provides, the rock with the water within it. Many people look for rock, things to lean on, experience to help them in life. I read a humorous poster that had advice from a rock. Try your hardest. That was the first bit. It gets worse. Stay grounded. Start each day with a clean slate. See where it's going? Keep still. Okay, sorry. Be well-rounded. Live in balance, because it was a pile of rocks to explain on the picture. And then finally, never take life for granted. Okay, I don't know how many of those posters people have bought. But advice from a rock. You hear people say, don't you, you are my rock. That's a common phrase on the streets of Rochford. You're a rock to me. What are they saying? Well, they're saying that friend or family member has been there for them. Dependable. Unmoving in their supports. You've been a rock. You know, something that to be grounded upon, to lean upon. Did our daily bread this morning. You heard there of the house upon the rock that Jesus tells in the parable. That foundation, that support, that which has kept me upright in the circumstance. Well, Paul recounts the story of the Israelites in the wilderness, as we've seen. And within that, in Exodus 17, comes the need for water. It wasn't just a one-off. They would have needed water constantly through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He retells how God told Moses to speak to the rock. That's in Exodus 17. But Moses, in his frustration, strikes the rock. Graciously, the Lord provides water from that rock, but it's at that moment that Moses knows that he's not going into the promised land. But nonetheless, it was the rock that gave forth life-giving water. And it's with that thought that the Apostle Paul says, and that rock was Christ. Didn't see that coming. That was a bit left of centre. And that rock was Christ. And wonderfully, he talks about how the spiritual rock accompanied them in the wilderness. Well, more of that in a moment. But just think for a moment of Christ and think of Christ crucified. Paul's message, the gospel. Because having been struck for us, taking our punishment upon himself, we can now speak to him and know him as saviour and provider in our journey through life's desert. Christ is the rock. That rock was Christ. Well, what sort of rock is Christ? Now, this is where I'm going to say again, I'm going to do it as simply as possible. And I want you, when you go home, across your lunchtime table, to say, these are the 4 points that Andrew presented this morning. Because it's going to be R-O-C. Okay, rock. Okay? If you had children, it'd be a children's talk with some
pieces of card to hold up. R-O-C-K. That's where we're going. And we're going to begin with R, because R is for refuge. What sort of rock is Christ? He is our refuge. Now, how nice it is. Didn't think I would be saying this time last year. How nice it is to find a bit of shade. Have you found that? Have you started walking on the side of the street now where the trees and the big buildings are to get out of the sun? It's been so warm. Last year, the years before, we perhaps ran for refuge from the rain. But this year it's been the sun. But when we think of that big rock outcrop in the Judean wilderness, the one where water can be found, it's a refuge. It's a shelter from the heat. It's a fortress from any enemies that are around. Christ is our refuge. The Lord is my rock, says Psalm 18, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. And that's what Rock of Ages is about. It's that hymn is all about taking refuge in Christ, being covered by him, surrounded by him, so that we're not open to attack. We have that place, that protected, sheltered refuge. From the heat of the day, from life's battles, we can come to the Lord and find shelter and refuge. And it's truly wonderful and truly inspiring, and I should not say it in a surprising way, because it is God's word after all. But how Paul describes the spiritual rock that accompanied them. You know, I've said that rocks are big, dependable, immovable. That's the usual image of a rock. And the Lord is all those qualities, don't get me wrong, but he is also accessible in the way he's with us and provides for us. He accompanied them. The spiritual rock accompanied them through the wilderness. The Lord was with them and provided what they need. And it's the same for you and for me. In the dry barrenness of life in this world, a world that knows very little of Christ, we can turn to Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our grief and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He's there as a refuge for us to turn to. And he's there wherever we might be. Yes, he's here with us as we worship in our early worship service, but he's with us wherever we are throughout the week. We can know Christ as our refuge, accompanying us and providing for us. So we sang earlier, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. In him will I trust. And I just ask the question, will you? Will you trust him? We've sang, we will. But wherever we are this week, in whatever the situation is, he is the accompanying rock of refuge for us to turn to. Praise his name. R is for refuge. Remember that for the lunchtime table talk. O is for orientation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said many other things about direction and purpose and following him. Orientation. You know, it's easy to get lost in a desert. It's easy to get lost in a city or a town. But to be in a place where it's just rocks and sand and rocks and more sand, which way to go? But when you find a rock that provides, it gives you a marker, a landmark, to gauge where you are and which way to go. And Christ is a rock in that sense. Above all other little pebbles of this world, he is the rock. He is the one to look to. He is the one whose way is the way to follow. You do hear a lot of people talking about orientation these days, often in a sexual connotation. People talk of finding who they are, finding their way. The Bible says all mankind are lost without Christ. It's quite blunt about it, to be honest. Mankind alone, in Christ alone, Christ knows the way to God, makes the way, is the way. We know that. He's the way, the truth, and the life. When you think of the rock, a rock is fixed. Though the desert sands may move around, the rock is permanently in its place. Come back years later, still in the same place. That rock that provides is there for them in the wilderness. By acknowledging the rock, the way forward can be found. We can avoid taking wrong turns as we are led by the Lord, as we seek Him to guide us, to be that orientation for our lives. In Psalm 71, another of the Psalms that speak of the Lord being as a rock, the psalmist says, "Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and fortress." Give the command. Let's do things your way, says the psalmist. You tell me. You show me. You lead the way. Be my orientation in all things. Is that how you're living your life? Seeking the Lord each day, each moment, each opportunity. You know Him as a refuge, yes, when things are hard. That's precious. But know Him too as a rock that gives orientation, that stands above all others. To Him you look. To Him you turn, and from Him you receive the instructions to go in His direction, His way. Refuge, orientation. C is for confidence. Let us approach the throne of grace, writes Hebrews 4, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, the one who finds refuge in the rock and gains orientation can also have a confidence, know a confidence, because that outcrop in the desert is a position to see advancing enemies drawing near. You read of David's life, particularly in the Old Testament, and you find again and again he's in that situation. Saul was coming to attack, to track him down. Later in the days of Absalom as well, his son. He had to be a cave dweller. But because he was in the place with the Lord, and the Lord was around him protecting him, he had a confidence. The advancing enemy would be spotted and would not break through. The rock lifts them up and gives them the advantage of seeing the danger and being able to make preparation for any attack. In that reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I don't know if you remember how it finished, it went on to talk about temptation. It went on to talk about, be careful you don't fall. If our confidence is in the Lord, then we have all that we need, even in the battle with temptation. We have the one who is able to overcome, able to help us overcome such attacks as we turn to Him. So yes, in a sense, it's the same as refuge, although refuge perhaps is when our hearts are heavy because of battles and circumstances, situations. Confidence is a bit more than that. It's in the realm of temptation. It's in the realm when the enemy is seeking to have his way, his attack. We have one who we can speak to, and He will supply us with the mercy and the grace that we need. He's not just dealt with their sins of the past, but also of the present and the future. Praise God. He's covered all. That doesn't give us license and excuse to sin as we like, of course. But when the enemy comes and seeks to niggle away at us about that, and what about this, and what about the other, try to undermine our faith, we have one we can turn to who's done everything for us. Psalm 40. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, set my feet upon a rock, and gave me a firm place to stand. A firm place. If you're a Christian this morning, stand up firmly, stand true on what Jesus has done for you. Thank him that he's lifted you up from the pit, the slimy pit of sin, the mud and mire. For before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. And when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Upward, upward to him, not within myself, not looking down with shame, looking up. For we have a great high priest. We have a rock to be confident in. Upon Christ the rock, we can be confident. Refuge, orientation, confidence. He's our keeper. To him who is able to keep us from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy. As I say, as I was preparing this message, I looked at a number. In fact, I think I looked at all of them actually. Examples in Scripture of those involved with life in rocks and caves. And there are many, you'd be surprised, within the Old Testament setting particularly. And many involve not just a half an hour stop, finding a bit of refuge from the heat of the day, but living within the network of caves in a rock. David particularly, the cave of Adullam and all that went on there. These places were known. These were places that provision was made within them. Well, in the same way, the Lord provides not just for an hour on Sunday, or perhaps half an hour on a Wednesday afternoon if you're good, but always he keeps us to the end. Now, the key to survival was the water within the rocks. As I said to you, the Judean wilderness, go home, Google the pictures. It's a lot of rocks everywhere. But that's not the issue. The issue is the water in the rocks? And when there's water in the rocks, you can keep going. You'll be refreshed. You'll have what you need. You'll survive. More than that, you'll be strengthened to carry on. Well, that's the picture for the Christian, isn't it? We need the water of God's Spirit within us. The Lord will keep us, he promises. He will provide. God provided miraculously at the point of their need. When they were grumbling, when they saw no way forward. We never grumble, do we? We never say, I can't see a way forward, can we? Do we do that? We do. We're at that point. They grumbled. What is God doing? Is God doing anything? What's the way forward here? But the Lord kept them and he provided for them. Yes, a generation fell in the wilderness. Better mention that. But the next generation came through. The next generation came into the promised land with Joshua and all that went on there. There's a warning here. We need to do things God's way, supplied by God's provision, the water of his Spirit. The rocks and the caves provide respite. God-given respite. Hidden from the sight of their enemies. I wonder what the temptation was to say, well, perhaps we should just live here. in a rock. No, I can't think that was a good move. Because ultimately, God's people were on that journey to the promised land. And yes, they had wonderful days of provision along the way. But they had to keep going as God kept going with his grace and his blessing upon them. There was more wilderness wanderings ahead to experience. Now that's not a very positive message, is it? You don't want to hear that. You want to hear everything is wonderful. And they were lifted up from their rock and put straight into the promised land. And it was one. But no, there was a lot more wandering. And there would need to be a lot more provision along the way. But the Lord kept them. And the Lord will keep you. Even in your wilderness wanderings. The dry, barren times. The Lord provides. R-O-C-K, refuge, orientation, confidence, keeper. Is Jesus all these things to you? Have you come to him and found refuge in what he's done for you? Are you going God's way, having come to him? Are you trusting him in the battles of life, going forward with confidence because of your faith in him? And do you know him as the keeper of your soul? Paul preached Christ crucified. Dave and I, we preach Christ crucified. Because without Christ crucified, you can't have all this. Without his sacrifice for your sin, you can't draw near. Sorry. The sinking sand of sin would pull you down deeper and deeper. You cannot get to this rock of refuge. The rock accompanied them. The rock came to them. Jesus came to us in our need to save us and died for us to make this possible. With regard to God's ways, they are so much higher than our ways, it would be beyond our reach. We would be lost, remain lost, without his intervention. But he came, that accompanying rock, to be our refuge and our orientation. Who could stand before such a holy God? I hope this morning as we go out from this place, we go out with a thankful heart, not that just Andrew's finished, but that God is our rock. He's a rock who is with us, accompanying us in this coming week. Thanking God that he was struck for us, that grace might flow out to our lives. Thanking God that he can now be spoken to, that we might know that grace and mercy in increasing measure. Thanking God that we can commit to him ourselves, our lives, our everything, and know that he will keep us to the end. Let me conclude by one more psalm, two verses from Psalm 62. The psalmist again, on this theme of God as the rock, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Take that verse. Find rest in the Lord. Know whatever happens, I shall not be shaken. This mighty rock, he provides all that I need, for Christ is that rock. Amen.